Fiber Hooligan. I'm your host, Benjamin Levesay, and for the next hour or so, I'd like to invite you to grab your cup of coffee, tea, or Diet Dr. Pepper, that's your beverage of choice, and settle in for the 25th episode of Fiber Hooligan. For those of you who are wondering who the heck I am the CEO of XRX Inc., home of Knitters Magazine, XRX Books, and Stitches Expos, and I'm broadcasting live from my home here in Harrisburg, South Dakota. Before I get to the show today, I thought I'd give you all an update on the podcaster throwdown for Halos of Hope. This is becoming more and more fun all the time. We've got a new team in the Rumble. Yarn on Tap has picked up the gauntlet, and we want to welcome them into the Rumble. We have a combining of another podcaster that has joined Team Naughty Girls, Laura and Jen. Team Hollywood, the Hollywood Knitter podcast is now backing those folks. So the gangs are merging, which is kind of cool. Speaking of Laura and Jen, I understand that they have earned themselves a new nickname, the Woolly Bullies. I have not heard the details about that, but I am really interested in that. They are always up to some antics, and so I'm looking forward to knowing more about that. According to Nathania Apple from Pearlescence Yarns on the Ravelry boards, I looked this up yesterday, Team Knitmore Girls still has a sizable lead on all the other teams, but the hats for Ready, Set, Knit are being sent directly to Webbs, so she doesn't have that count, and we really don't know what is the real count at this point. All we can talk to you about is the hats that have already been sent in. From looking at the Ravelry board, it looks to me like there's a lot of hats. There are more hats being knit that have been sent in yet. So I think these early polls are probably full of, you know, polling errors. For all of you other fiber arts podcasters, we'd like to please consider joining the Rumble. We'd love to have you create your own team and join us for this great charity campaign. If you're curious about the Podcaster Throwdown, I'd like to invite you to join our Ravelry group, Podcaster Throwdown. We'd love to have your help with this campaign. And this goes for knitters and crocheters as well. If you're interested in participating, come on out. I'm sure we can find a team that would love to have you join them. In fact, I think there's some teams out there that might even bribe you to join them. And so please keep listening to Fiber Hooligan. We'll try to have updates about the podcast to throw down for Halos of Hope at the top of every show. So let's get to it. My guest today is originally from Yorkshire, England. She now lives in Ohio with her husband, two sons, a dog, two cats, and 14 chickens. I just love the fact that I get to talk about the chickens in this thing. She thoroughly enjoys exploring the different techniques that knitting, crochet, and embroidery present, and is always eager to share what she learns with others. She is the author of Bigfoot Knits from Cooperative Press. She is an amazing designer and prolific knitter. And she's just a really sweet lady who I love talking to. I'm speaking of the very talented Andy Smith. Andy joins us from Akron, Ohio. Good morning, Andy, and welcome to the show.
Thank you, Benjamin. Good morning. How are you?
Oh, well, I'm very well. How are things in Ohio this fine morning?
You know, they're kind of overcast, and I think there's a storm coming on, but that's okay because I have yarn. I'm a happy girl.
And you had some excitement this morning.
I did?
Next door?
Oh, goodness me, yeah. About 20 minutes before I called in for the podcast, our neighbors decided that was the perfect time to have some work done on the house, and a big old sump pump came by, and it was as noisy as anything, and I was thinking, oh, Lord, what am I going to do? I had all the windows closed. It was the noisiest thing ever. Fortunately, they left about 10 minutes ago, so it's nice and quiet again.
Well, that's good, and you got Thing 2 off to school this morning fine?
Thing 2 was off to school bright and early, catches the bus at 6:37, and it's still dark at that time in the morning. It's quite alarming, but yeah, he's off and happy and hopefully having a good day.
That's great. All right, well, let's start and give our listeners a little background about you, and I'd like to call this your pre-fiber arts history. I'd like to talk to you. You know, we'll get to your industry stuff, but I'd like our listeners to know more about you before you got into the fiber arts world professionally. I know that you've always been involved in knitting and crocheting. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I have. I grew up in a small mining town in Yorkshire, and the women in my family always crafted. they knitted, they crocheted, they embroidered, they sewed. They pretty much did everything. And, you know, it wasn't that it was a craft. It wasn't that it was a leisure activity. It was just kind of what we did.
Okay. And so you grew up, and this was this was something that your mother and your grandmother primarily taught you.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, we just sat around and did that of an evening. There wasn't any question of, okay, here's a new technique. It's just, this is what I'm doing here. Here's how you do it. Now you go and learn. You know, all through school, I knitted my school uniform sweaters and, you know, we're always encouraged to embellish and make things a little different, make them our own. So, yeah, you know, my mum and my grandma very much had the attitude of, just go do it, you know, get on and do, you'll be fine. And I've taken that along with me.
And so you grew up, you went to school there in England?
I did. I went to Nottingham University for psychology and statistics. It didn't last very long. I'd taken a year out before school to travel and came to the States and met my husband, and then went back, enrolled in school, worked really hard, and then he asked me to marry him, so back I came.
I just had a comment in the chat room from our moderator, Tammy Burke, that Yorkshire is north of Downton Abbey.
Oh, it is, yeah, a little bit, yeah. Yeah, I think if I was in Downton Abbey, I'd definitely be in the scullery.
That's good. So you eventually moved, you went back to England, and you eventually moved back to the States. When was that?
I moved back in, I want to say, 1991. Yeah, about 91. So
okay.
I've been here quite a while, yeah. I've actually been in America longer than I've been in England now, which is kind of a scary thought. You know, it's almost gone. It's almost gone.
Andy, I don't know who's been telling you that, but it really isn't. I'm just telling you. They're lying
you
to
know?
You.
You know, it's funny. Both my kids have English accents. Just because I talk to them so much. But my mom, who I talk to every day on Skype, swears that I sound just like an American.
Well,
I think she may be a little wrong.
Yeah, you're really, I don't think at this point you're in danger of losing that wonderful accent.
No, I don't think so either.
So you came back, you got married, and you have two kids.
I do. I have two boys, Thing 1 and Thing 2, Benjamin and Corey. Benjamin is 15, Corey is 21, and they're a constant joy and a constant frustration, and I can't imagine life without them.
Well, for our listeners, you know, it's important, and I hope you don't mind me discussing this, both your sons have autism.
They do, yeah. Yeah, Corey has Asperger's, and Benjamin has high-functioning autism. He started out nonverbal, other than the screaming, and he learned to speak when he was about between 6 and 7, and he's pretty much age-appropriate now with the speech, which is absolutely phenomenal. It's a struggle. It's a learning process. It's a constant learning process. But I think it's made me a better person. It's made me more patient. It's made me understand different ways of learning, how to approach different ways of learning. And I don't know. I can't imagine them any other way.
Well, I know that because of this, you have been active in autism advocacy. Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yes. I started out when the kids were first diagnosed, there wasn't the proliferation of the internet that there is now. You couldn't just go online and Google autism. Well, you could, but there wasn't an awful lot out there. So I started out, I moderate a group an online group, and I've been a moderator on that for 12 years. It's just a parent support group. And locally, I've spent many hours helping families find the resources they need, the tools they need to get their kids diagnosed, to get them the services they need in school. And it's, gosh, even now with all the information that's out there, it's still sometimes difficult to find what you need. But the more we talk about it, the more I talk about it, then hopefully the better it will be for someone, say perhaps someone's listening and they don't know if their kids have autism or their neighbor's kids have autism or their grandkids. Go ahead and get that diagnosis, talk to people. There are state resources, local resources, and just find out as much as you can.
Well, that's great. And you're still kind of active in that, not as much as you probably were at one point, but you still do a good deal with that.
I do. I try. I used to spend quite a lot of time as an individual advocate, a volunteer advocate, going into schools with families and helping them get the services that their kids needed. I find I can't do that so much anymore. I don't have the time and I don't have the emotional energy to give it my all anymore. But if someone asks, I'm usually there, yeah.
Okay. Well, good for you. And, you know, thanks for being out there and helping other people. I think it's a wonderful thing when you take what's happened to your family and turn it around and say, okay, I can make this better for another family. I think that's exactly the right way of going about the world.
I think so, too.
See, Barbara Hooligans, didn't I tell you she was just sweet? She really
is. I'm on my best behavior.
She's on her... Well, I have actually seen you and Shannon together, and I'm speaking of Shannon from Cooperative Press, folks, and the two of them do have a bit of a wicked sense of humor, but that's just between the two of them. When it comes to other people, you both are extremely kind. I happen to know that, so yeah. All right, so let's move into your fiber arts world. How did you get started? I mean, because you were always knitting, you're always crocheting, but how did you start? How did you start in the
It was kind of strange. I had a mutual friend put me in touch with Shannon and said, hey, Andy's a really fast knitter. Do you need a sample knitter? And Shannon said, yeah, of course I do. And that was the start of it. I think she was working on her first felt book, and I'm afraid I can't remember the name of it. Sorry, Shannon. And I can remember knitting 50 different eyelash yarns and seeing how they faltered, and oh my goodness, I thought, what have I let myself into? But you know, eyelash yarn aside, we moved on, and from sample knitting we got into some collaborative designs, and then, you know, as time and family allowed, I started putting out my own designs, and then things just kind of moved on from there.
So, and again, Fiber Hooligans, I want to clarify this. We're talking about Shannon Oakey, who is the publisher of Cooperative Press, a designer and a teacher, just a great lady, just a really smart, smart person, and who knows a lot about a lot of different things. I know that during the first part of your fiber arts career, and continuing this, you do a good deal of tech editing.
I sure do, yeah. I'm actually working on 3 books right now. And honestly, I am. If anyone's from the company and listening, I'm working really hard on 3 books right now. I tend to do most of my tech editing for Cooperative Press, and it's wonderful. It's a great challenge. It keeps my brain active, and I thoroughly enjoy it.
Well, the reason I brought that up is because now I'm going to make fun of you for a little bit. So Andy, you know, what's your favorite program to do tech editing in? Is it Word or is it Excel? Or you know, what's your favorite computer program to do tech editing in?
My favorite computer program is, I think I'm going to say iTunes, because I've usually got some good old 80s nonsense blaring out. I've got a big old pad of paper and a pencil in front of me and a calculator, and that's the only way my brain works when it comes to doing math. I cannot use Excel. I cannot use... I find there's a huge disconnect in working with numbers on a computer screen. It has to be pen and paper. That physical act of writing out the numbers and doing the math is the only way my head works.
Sorry, I had to pick on you just a little bit.
I know.
Well, I mean, because, you know, you and I are roughly the same age. We got kids about the same age, and I am never off my computer. In fact, I can't remember the last time I actually picked up a piece of paper and wrote on it. And I can't do my work, you know, without having Word or Excel or Evernote up. And that's just not your go-to place. Your go-to place is to sit down and work on a pad of paper.
It really is. Wow. It really is. I designed the same way as well. It's the strangest thing. Once I got it all on paper, you know, I put it into, you know, Word or Pages or InDesign or whatever. And I'm pretty good with those. But it's the physical act of the designing or the tech editing. Pen and paper is my go-to. It really is, yeah. I'm just old school, Benjamin.
It's fine. I'm not going to pick on you for it. So besides doing you did some knitting for Shannon. You've done some tech editing and you test knitting. Was there anything else that you did before, you know, the next big thing?
Not really. Lots and lots of collaborative design. Some designs of my own. And that's pretty much it, you know. The kids keep me busy. I just dove straight in.
Well, okay. So this leads us to the next big thing that happened to you. And it is a pretty big thing, your most recent accomplishment. And I want to talk about this pretty much at length because I think this is a cool book. And I want to spend a good piece of the show getting into the book itself. You have written Bigfoot Knits. I have a copy from myself, and it's great for our listeners who might have missed it. Will you give us an overview of the book?
Absolutely. It's a book. It's a sock book. It's not your typical sock book, though. The first half of it is very much like sitting in the class and attending a lecture or a tutorial, and I try and show you the different ways that you can manipulate a sock tube. A sock tube is pretty much just usually straight up and down with a heel and a toe. And unfortunately, you know, our legs aren't shaped that way and our feet aren't shaped that way. And I try and give you the tools to change your basic sock tube. There's lots of tutorials, lots of worksheets, a little math. It's not difficult. But it is quite comprehensive.
Okay, so that's the overview. So we're going to get into dissect the book a little more. Let's tell our listeners how the book came about.
It's a funny story, and I don't think I've shared this yet with you, Benjamin.
You haven't.
Shannon and I haven't. Do you trust me?
I do.
It involves me and Shannon. We were driving back from Rhinebeck a couple of years ago, and I had knitted her a pair of Cookie A's Monkey socks. And I'd knitted them in narrow sock, which is quite a fine gauge, and Shannon won't mind that I share that she has size 11 and a half feet. And she was asking me, you know, well, what did you do to change the pattern? Obviously, you changed it, and we were discussing that. And I said, well, you know, I had to do this, and then I did that, and then I did this. And she said, well, you should write about that. And I'm like, but everybody alters their socks. And she said, no, they really don't. And I said, well, you know, these are the things you would need to know. And she said, okay, there's your book. Go write it. And that's really how it started.
See, that wasn't a risque story at all. When you say it started with me and Shannon in a car, I get worried, you know, because...
Yeah.
I didn't put a special rating on this show, so I got a little worried. But no, that was just fine. All right. So you have this idea. You think it's something everybody else is doing. Shannon is right. It is different. Shannon does great books. What was the process of working on a book with Cooperative Press like? Can you tell us about that?
You know, I think that because it's a smaller publishing house, it's very personal. You can change your deadlines. You can ask for help. For me, I had some health issues, so my book kind of got put on the shelf for a little while, and that was fine. You know, no pressure from the publishing house. It was a question of, when you're feeling better, when you're ready to get this finished, let's knock it out of the park and get it out of the door. And that was wonderful. I felt totally nurtured. I really looked after. And the actual process from start to finish, I wrote some more, and I racked my brains and wrote some more. And then I was lucky enough to have Kate Atherley as my technical editor. And she does the SOC tech editing for NIDDY.com. And she was incredible. She said, I know where you're coming from. Explain this a little bit more. I'm not quite getting your point here. Expand that. You need to expand this. You need to slim this down a little bit. And she really helped me solidify my ideas and my vision. And then so I did that, and from there it went to Elizabeth Green Musselman and Shannon, my editors, and they made it pretty. Oh, my goodness, they made it so pretty. I was blown away. And then, you know, it went from there. It was amazing.
Well, it is amazing. I'd like to get back to the book itself. I really like how approachable and empowering it is. The first part of the book, as you said, almost the first half, has a lot to do with giving readers options and ideas and philosophy. Don't get me wrong, there's some great patterns later on, but I would not call this a pattern book. The first part of the book is really a teaching resource. Can you talk about what we were trying to do and what you were trying to accomplish with the way this book was put together?
Absolutely. I'm going to go back to two points that I mentioned a little earlier. One is my mom and my grandma, my nana. They always have the attitude of, it's okay to make mistakes. There's someone to help you fix them, or you have the tools to figure out how to fix them yourself. And my nana always used to say, just get on and do it. Just get on and do it. And that attitude is kind of where I wanted to go. And then with Shannon as well, when she said to me, you know, not everyone does this, that kind of stopped me up short because I just assumed that everyone crafted the same way. So those two overriding factors of, you know, showing people, here are the absolute things you need to know. You know, these are the ways that you can manipulate this sock tube. Here is one suggestion. Here are maybe five suggestions. Go out and apply your own suggestions and make it work for you. And that's hopefully what I've imparted. That's hopefully what, you know, that will be my legacy. That's what I'm trying to share with people.
Well, I agree. Now, you've left one piece of this out, and I know this is a hot-button subject for you, and just for the title, and I'd really like you to talk about that, because it's something I firmly believe in. I think the industry needs more of this kind of things. Let's talk about the idea of embracing body types and trying to get past the self-loathing that a lot of people have with their body types, because you address that in this book.
You know, I do. I try to. Even though, I mean, it's a learning process for me as well. Please don't think that I'm there, that I embrace all these things. I'm trying, and hopefully I'm getting there. I'm trying to be proactive. I'm a big girl. I didn't used to be a big girl. I'm a big girl now, and I'm kind of okay with it. You know, I dress in clothes that fit me well. My goal is to wear clothes that fit me well. I'll wear my own style. I'm not particularly fashionable. And in the book, I think, especially with socks and knitted items, if you're going to spend all this time and money creating something to fit you, have it fit you well. It looks so much better when it fits you well. It really does. I mean, for so many years, I've seen people knit socks where They press on 64 stitches regardless of what size they are, and the socks dig into your calves, or they're too loose and they fall down your leg. You know, take that away, get something that fits you, have a good look at your body size, your body type, measure yourself. I love to measure, you know, I talk about measuring quite a lot in the book. Until you have a true measure of what size you are, then you won't know what fits. You know, you can't make something for you if you don't have a true measure of your size. And it's okay, you know, it's okay. So you're not 110 pounds like you were when you were 18. That's okay. If you're happy with who you are, then you're going to look beautiful regardless. It sounds a little preachy. I don't mean to be preachy. I'm really enjoying this person that I'm becoming, and I just kind of want to share that.
Well, I don't think it's preachy at all. I think people need permission to say, you know, it's okay. I mean, we're all guilty of that in some manner or another, you know, including folks like us. You go to a Stitches or a TNA or, you know, somewhere, and you watch models come down the runway, and they're a size 1 and a size 2. And I think it's a wonderful thing that you're saying, okay, you know, it's time to measure for not who you think you are, but who you actually are, and who you actually are is great. And if it fits well, it's going to make you look better. I just think that's the right-on message to have.
Thank you. I hope so. You know, I found it works for me. If it works for me, who's the most insecure person in the world, then, you know, it's going to work for someone else. And honestly, if you don't believe me, just try it. You know, prove me wrong. I don't think you will, but just go out and try it. It's okay. You can do it.
Well, I find it hard to believe that you're an insecure person. I remember seeing you at TNA in Columbus last summer, where you released your book, and you just seemed happy, and you know, you have an interesting color hair, and I think you were wearing interesting colored lipstick, and so it seems like you're okay expressing yourself.
You know, it's the funniest thing. Deep down inside, I am this northern girl, this working class girl who never had any confidence, never felt good about herself, and really didn't have very much confidence in her skills. Even when I wrote this book, I thought my biggest fear was the release at TNNA. I thought, oh my God, my peers are going to judge me. They're going to point their fingers and laugh and say, that's crap. And that didn't happen. You know, people liked the book, and people like me. And, you know, that's kind of amazing, and I kind of love it. And I'm kind of blown away. And, you know, yeah, maybe I've got a few skills. And, you know, even if it's just telling people to embrace their own skills, you know, maybe that's my skill. But, hey, I'll take it. It makes me feel good.
Well, that's great. So the TNNA show, it's, again, for fiber hooligans that don't know what that is, that's the National Needleworks Association show in Columbus. That was a good show for you.
It really was, yeah. It really was. I had so much fun. I love meeting up with the other designers and the yarn industry people. It's a hoot. I get so much work done. I get so much incredible inspiration. And I actually had a piece in the fashion show for the first time, which blew me out of the water. It was an amazing experience.
That's wonderful. So I didn't get to spend much time with you at that show. I mean, I'm always kind of running around. And last show, I was doing the software thing rather than the fiber arts thing. I remember seeing you there. But I did get a chance to talk to you at Stitches Midwest. Not a lot, but Stitches Midwest in August, we got a chance. That was your first Stitches Midwest, was it not?
It was indeed, yeah, and what a beautiful location. It was just incredible. And it was kind of another red letter day for me as well, day, weekend. The hard copies of the book came in the day that the market opened, and I got to actually sell my physical book and give it to people and get their reactions and talk about it. And again, that just blew me out of the water. It was incredible, and it was so much fun, and I learned so much from talking to people. about, you know, their knitting endeavors and what drives them crazy and, you know, ways to go around fixing that and being okay with it. It was kind of cool. Really was.
You look like you were having fun. I stopped by and I think I saw you twice. Of course, it's always dangerous when you and Shannon are together. But you look like you were having fun. I mean, this is your first time really signing the printed pieces. And, you know, you had a line there for a while.
We sure did, yeah. I was amazed. Stephanie Talent was there with me, and she had her book too. We just had a blast. We really, really did. It's so nice. You know, you sell your books to the local yarn stores, and you can't always be there to, you know, physically sell them and interact with people. And being able to do that in person is just phenomenal. It really is. It truly, truly is. So thank you for Stitches.
Oh, well, you're very welcome. Who knew that there was such a beautiful place out in the middle of the Midwest in Schaumburg, right? Isn't that a great hotel?
It's an amazing hotel. It's so beautiful and airy. And the floors don't hurt your feet. Every time I walked into the hotel, I'm like, the carpets are soft, you know? And being on the floor all day, I wasn't, you know, crying at the end of the day because my knees and legs hurt. It was incredible. I love that place. You have to have it at that place every single year.
I like that place too. So now you're a published author, right? You've gotten the work done, and I want to, you know, step back and say you don't really write a book; you give birth to a book, and then you go through a postpartum. And I think you've gone through that yourself, haven't you, Andy?
Oh my goodness, yeah. The worst part I think was like the actual submission, where I actually took my finished manuscript and hit send. And sent it off to my editor, and I was like, oh my God, this is the most dreadful thing I've ever done in my life. Absolutely terrifying. And then, you know, transition ended, and we went through labor, and, you know, a little pain here and there, and now a little postpartum with the, will they like it, will they buy it? And now it's like, okay, we're in that wonderful phase where the book is sleeping through the night, and doesn't have colic anymore, and, you know, I'm pretty happy with where it's going. I really am.
Well, you should be. It's a great book. I mean, in my opinion, the books that stand the test of time are not just pattern books. They are books that teach and empower and give people options. You've got great patterns in there. Don't get me wrong, but I think a little philosophy is the most practical thing you can give people, a little theory. And you did a good job with that in this book. Very appropriate.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That's really good to hear.
So now you're doing the whole PR thing with the book. You're appearing on podcasts and talking to reviewers. I saw that you got a great blog review the other day of your book, which was very nicely done. How are you finding that process of going out and talking to folks like Marley and Kathy and me and bloggers?
It's a little surreal. I don't usually talk about myself this much, but I'm quite enjoying it. It's a learning process. The nerves are settling down a little bit, you know. But I enjoy it because the more I talk, the more I'm kind of learning about myself as well. I'm not having too many fangirl squee moments, although, you know, mentally I probably am. But it's like, oh my God, I've been listening to this podcast since it started, and, you know, I've listened to Marley's forever and Kathy's, and, you know, it's like, God, they really want me to talk on them. What on earth will I say? But it's good, you know, people are people, and it's wonderful to chat, and I'm really enjoying it. I truly am.
You've got a very nice manner, and again, you're one of the sweetest people I've met. I know you don't think you are, but you really are.
I'll be hitting you up for drinks next time I see you, Benjamin.
No problem. I like being seen with the girl with the purple hair. I really do. That's always it.
Oh my goodness!
You know what we should do? We should give away a book to a live caller. What do you think about that?
Oh, absolutely. Let's do it.
All right. So callers, the call-in number is 718-664-9655, and I just published it in the chat room as well. It's 718-664-9655, and I'm going to take the third caller in, and we're going to be giving away a copy of Bigfoot Knits. And so this is, I just saw in the chat room that the description says it's 132 pages with over 50 pages of guidance. I like that, guidance. That is the best way of saying it.
It is. Hopefully it comes across as empowerment rather than this is the way you must knit socks, you know. So I think it does.
I did not feel like that was the tone. The tone was very... I think the tone was very approachable, like, you know, it's okay. It's always, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. I didn't get that sense at all. All right, we have a caller on the air, and callers, for all of you listening, please turn down the volume on your computers, otherwise we'll get the echo of death, and I'll have no choice but to hang up on you. And we are going to go to the second caller, which is caller from area code 604. Area code 604, you're on the air.
Seriously?
You were
Hello?
Seriously on the air. Who is this?
Oh, my gosh. It's me. It's Steve, Mr. Huggs.
Oh, hi, Steve.
Oh, my gosh. Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I cannot believe I won. This is the first thing I've ever, ever won. Oh, my gosh.
So how are things today, Steve?
They're great. They're great. Actually, though, Benjamin, seriously, is it okay to defer this to the next caller? Because I wanted to contact Andy and talk to her about, you know, doing a review on her book anyway. So I'm glad.
Yeah,
to pick
no,
it
no
up.
Problem. No problem. Yep, absolutely. Andy, I'm going to put you in touch with Steve when this is all over. And,
okay.
And folks, you're going to learn more about Steve in the future. I'm not going to do a whole lot on this show right now. I'll see you later, Steve.
Okay.
Bye. All right, folks. So I need everybody dropped out of the chat room. So I need there's somebody else. Okay. So I will take area code 404. You're on the air.
Yes. Hi. How are you today?
I'm well. And who's this?
This is Ginger.
Hi, Ginger. And where are you calling in from?
I am calling from Atlanta, Georgia. I finally figured out how to join the podcast live, so I'm really excited.
Well, I think you're our first caller to ever call in from Georgia, and that's wonderful because I love Georgia. I absolutely love Atlanta. Stitches South is kind of one of those shows that I just get warm and fuzzies about all the time. So are you a member of the Guild down there?
I am a member of the Guild. As a matter of fact, our meeting is this evening.
Well,
hooray!
say hi to Marion and Diane and the gang, okay?
I will be glad to. Oh, I'm so excited. This is great.
So you want a copy of Bigfoot Knits, and here's what I'm going to ask you to do, Ginger. If you could just send me an email to benjamin@fiberhooligan.com, I will make sure that gets to you.
Thank you so much. I'm very excited. Thank you.
Thank you, Ginger.
Hey, congratulations, Ginger.
Oh, this! I love knitting socks, and so I'm really interested because everything you described earlier is exactly what happens to my socks.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You'll
All
have
right, well,
a
thank you very
book,
much.
I promise.
Can you repeat that, Andy? I think she missed that.
I'm sorry. I said you'll have fun with the book, I promise.
Thank you. Thank you
You're
so
welcome.
Much.
Thank you, Ginger. Well, that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Andy?
Yeah. And
yeah.
It really is. Yeah, the Atlanta Guild's huge as well.
Have you been down to the South
Guild.
Show?
I haven't, no. I'm definitely coming down next year. I'm very much looking forward to it. I can start to travel a bit more next year, so I will be at all the shows.
Yeah, well, you know, the Stitches South is kind of unique in the sense that the Atlanta Knitting Guild is truly like our partners at that show. They show up in force, and they're, you know, just an extension of the show. They have been so gracious. Both Rick and I are members of the Atlanta Knitting Guild. They're just pretty wonderful people. I stay in touch with certain members of their guild all year long. It's pretty wonderful people.
Yeah, do I remember correctly that you had a Atlanta Knitting Day or something on the steps of the Capitol down there?
Yeah, and with the Atlanta Knitting Guild.
You guys in the Atlanta Guild? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was due to the wonderful efforts of Marion Rose, who was the past president of the Atlanta Native Guild. I think she might be coming up as the next president. I always get confused about who the presidents are, but that's okay. But yeah, they managed to. Anyway, well, let's not talk about me. We can talk about me another time. I want to keep talking about you. Okay, so we're going to give away another book, but we're not going to do it live. We're going to give away another book on the Fiber Hooligans Ravelry group. And Tammy or I are going to start a thread, and we'd like a comment from you that number one, that you want it, maybe why you want it, although this is going to be a random drawing. I'm going to take the numbers of the post and, you know, randomly pick from there. But up on our Fiber Hooligans Ravelry group, we're going to be giving away one more book. Does that sound okay to you, Andy?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Yes.
And we'll put a week's time limit on this. So we'll have this drawn by, we'll say next Monday, so that maybe we can drop into the chat room who won.
Yes.
Okay, cool. All right, so that's fun. I love giving away. Thank you. Thank you and Shannon for being so gracious to give away some books.
She's the best.
She really is, yeah. Okay, so now that you've done a book and are recuperating and, you know, recovering from postpartum, do you think you'd like to do another book?
You know, it really is kind of like when you have a kid and you say, oh, my God, never again. And then you're like, oh, yeah, that wasn't so bad. I think there's another book in me. I really enjoy working with cables. I love cables. And I love making shapes with cables. And I think I want to do with sweaters and cables what I did with socks and have the cables create the shaping and show you how to do that. I think that's where I'm going next. I'm not sure when that's going to happen, though.
What? You're not working on three books at once in your copious spare time? What's going on?
I'm working on a two-color cable collection right now that I'm going to release as an e-book.
Let's talk about your collection. Yeah, tell us more about your collection.
It's I'm playing with cables and using two colors instead of just one, where the knits are in one color and the pearls are in another, and it does really crazy things to the pattern. It's really rather beautiful. And I think I have 9 pieces, just accessories, hats, cowls, mittens, that kind of scarves, that kind of thing. And then a big old tutorial because, you know, obviously I can't leave well enough alone. And I have a huge, giant photo tutorial that goes along with that. But I think it's just going to be an ebook. I'm just going to throw out the PDF and say, dive in. And then I don't have to worry too much about it. And after that, I don't know what's next. I'm just enjoying this right now.
Well, that's fine. You have some more promo to do, and let's talk about that. Are you going to be anywhere in the next couple of months promoting your book at shops or festivals or anything like that?
I'm heading out of town next Tuesday. I'm taking a road trip down to Florida. I'll be stopping off on Wednesday the 9th at Warm and Fuzzy in Raleigh, North Carolina. And then from the Thursday the 10th through Saturday the 12th, I'll be at Edward John in Sarasota. And I'm teaching 4 classes down there, which I'm really looking forward to. I can't wait. And then right after that, I'll be home for a day, and then I get to leave for Rhinebeck, which, oh my goodness, if you've never been to Rhinebeck, put it on your bucket list and go. It's phenomenal. It's not as good as a Stitcher's, let me say. It's a different kind of festival, but it's another great festival. And then right after Rhinebeck, I have I'm working the booth for Shannon at Vogue Knitting Live in Chicago, and then I'm taking a break. I'm going to take a break until the new year and then see what that brings me.
Well, hopefully we'll get you down to Stitches South in April.
Oh, and definitely.
It would be great. It would be great if you come out to
definitely.
Stitches West in February.
Yeah. I'm not sure about West yet. It depends on my husband's work schedule, but hopefully, you know, I can squeeze some time out to make that happen. But definitely South. I've already got that booked on the calendar.
All right. Well, there you have it, Georgians. You know, another star is going to be gracing us down at the South Show. So for our fiber hooligans who want to know more about you or keep track of you online, where should they go to find you?
You can find me on Ravelry, Facebook, Twitter, and Pinterest as KnitBrit. And you can find me on my blog, KnitBrit.com. And you can find my book on cooperativepress.com.
Okay, that's great. And we'll be posting some of those links up in our Fiber Hooligans Ravelry group as well. Before we wrap this up, Andy, I asked this of all my guests, and I'd like to ask you the same thing. Do you have a final message you'd like to share with our listeners?
I do, actually. I'm going to share my grandma's message, and that is get on and do. You'll be amazed what you can accomplish. My grandma said it to me, and I'm going to share that. Say it to you guys. Get on and do.
Very simple and right on the money. I really appreciate it. So thank you again for joining us today, Andy. And I hope you'll stay in touch, and I hope I'll get to see you, you know, sometime. It doesn't look like you and I might cross paths this year. Probably the first time we'll see each other is maybe the next TNNA, wouldn't you think, in January?
Yes. Yeah, probably. Yeah. You never know. I might make it out to Stitches East.
It'll be wonderful.
I'll make it in my mind, and I'll see you in Hartford in 3 weeks or 4 weeks.
Oh, yes. Yeah, it's about 4.5 weeks out now, and I'd love
yeah.
That'd be wonderful. That's going to be a fun show. Well, again,
yeah.
Thank you for joining us today, and please stay in touch.
Thank you so much, Benjamin. It's been an absolute pleasure. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
That was the lovely and talented Andy Smith. You can learn more about all of the great things she's doing at knitbrit.com, and that's one you're going to want to bookmark. And I know she gave a whole bunch of other links earlier on. I think she has most of those links on that site as well. I'll try to get up onto the Fiber Hooligans Ravelry group and post a couple of the other links that she sent me as well. Next Monday, I'm very pleased to announce that Cornelia Tuttle Hamilton will be on this show. For those of you who don't know about her, Cornelia is now in the 30th year of her design career. She recently introduced her own yarn collection called Heaven's Hand. She is a versatile designer with 12 pattern books to her name. And for the past 2 years, Cornelia Tuttle Hamilton has been focusing more and more of her efforts in designing for and promoting her own yarn label, Heaven's Hand. Cornelia is also just one of those classy and articulate ladies that I feel very fortunate to know. And I know it's going to be wonderful to have her on the show. I, however, will not be here for that show. Yes, I am going to take a few weeks off from the fiber arts world to work on Hopscotch Software, another company that I'm involved with my partner, Bernie Berg. We're going to try to shut ourselves off from the world for a little while and work on a big project. But fear not, Fiber Hooligans. We have replacement guest hosts for the next 2 shows. Ron and Teresa Miskin from the Buffalo Wool Company have graciously agreed to host the next couple of shows. They are two of the most gracious and generous people I know in the industry. And I know that Ron especially has quite a bit of hooligan in him, so you'll be in good hands. I hope you tune in next week to hear from Cornelia and support Ron and Teresa. For those of you who may have missed anything in this podcast, I invite you to join us on our Ravelry group, Fiber Hooligans, or in our Fiber Hooligans Facebook group. Our moderator, Tammy Burke, does a great job of making sure we answer any questions and provide follow-up to anything you might ask about the show. Well, that's our show, Fiber Hooligans. As we slide on out of here today, I'd like to wish you all a glorious week. Remember, The only thing better than being creative is being kind to each other. The good news, you can do both. Thank you for spending this time with us. Rana and Teresa Miskin will be here to visit with you next Monday on another edition of Fiber Hooligans.